Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Ashwini.
Good morning, Chris.
All right, here's our assignment from yesterday. Do your daily practice. Be on the lookout for any subtle messages of self-hate. Use any negative message or experience of feeling bad as a reminder to redirect attention to what is true about you. Remember, we are practicing being what we are. We're not practicing being what we are not. All right. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Chris. Hi, Ashwini. It's Miriam from Eastern Canada.
Hey, Miriam.
So my focus on giving is, rather than giving the benefit of the doubt, giving the benefit of trust. And I'm seeing how absolutely wonderful and amazing life with a capital L really is. I'm seeing all these little happy coincidences. Like, for example, 2 weeks ago I spoke to you on open air about who am I when I'm not identified, and then the following week we get an email with a beautiful talk from Sherry about exactly that, and then this weekend there's a workshop on that. Mm-hmm. So it's just amazing. And I saw how I've had this long time belief that if I don't know something, I can't do it. So an example of that would be, I don't quite understand what karma is. And then on yesterday's morning call, someone asked that exact question. So it's so just amazing how life will bring what I need when I need it, and I don't have to go after it. It's wonderful.
It is, absolutely. Because what I hear you say, right, Miriam, is all of spiritual practice is a revelation. We are seeking the mystery, and the mystery reveals itself, and we continue to have those experiences of synchronicity that you're talking about, right?
Yes.
And through that experience, because we're on the path, we're able to do what you're practicing, which is to trust life. Because all of our conditioning is, if I don't know, if I don't have knowledge, if I can't find it in conditioned mind, then I don't know how to be in the world, right?
Yes.
But the experience that we have with spiritual practice is, if I turn to life, since life is all that is and all that I am, all of what needs to be, within quotes, known is revealed in the moment, and I'm actually living in intelligence.
Yes. And I mean, it's just amazing how when I saw that I held that belief and I saw from where it came from, that I could let it go. So it feels like I've closed a loop, mm-hmm. and or undid the last little bit of a knot in the scarf. So it's really, yeah. It's just so wonderful to be.
Yes, I hear you. I hear you. And my way of saying that is, there's such an exquisite sense of being sought, right? Because
yes.
Being the seeker makes it all up to me, and it's such a place of contraction. But to
yes.
relax mm-hmm. into, oh, I can trust that this is evolving perfectly, and to have a direct experience of that it's glorious.
It really is, and it felt like, it's like I've read in Sherry's books, like it's like if I want to know what it's like to eat an avocado, eat the avocado.
Precisely.
Yeah, so it's amazing. So it's just so much gratitude, and I feel so like overwhelmed with all these wonderful feelings, and what a difference from living in conditioning when you live in life.
Amen to that. Yes. What a difference
yes.
to live here than to live in conditioned mind. And as we practice, right, Miriam, I think we were looking at yesterday in group, that there is no desire anymore to live in that conditioned place, right? Once we've tasted the sweetness of this here now, then all of our intention is on being here, and whenever we get pulled off, finding our way back, rather than trying to find our way here, right?
Yes. Yeah, and you told me one time, and I think Jen did too, like once you've had that the experience of whatever, that the next time it's easier, it comes quicker, it comes easier with practice, and I'm finding that to be very, very, very true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yes.
That we are transformed, and so the transform. Then it's just the access path to the experience, right?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So it's so wonderful, and I'm really looking forward to that workshop on Sunday too.
Me too. Thanks, Miriam.
Thank you so much. Have a great day. Go happy.
You too. Bye bye.
Thank you, Miriam. And Ashwini, I am certainly uplifted by that conversation.
Yes. So, how can we not be?
Yeah, how can we not be? Yeah, and it just really highlights that, I can really feel it even right now, the difference between the dark room and the light room. It's just, as Miriam was talking, it's just like, yeah, I can feel it. I'm projecting it onto her experience, and there it is for me. Mm-hmm. And so always cool.
Yeah, yeah. It's all about calibration and resonance. Right, Chris?
Yeah. And one of the things that's dropping in is that poem, that Rumi poem, which is, I may not get this quite right, but ever since Joy found out my name, it's been running down the streets shouting, shouting for me or something like that. Yeah,
seems, yeah, I think it's exactly Hafiz.
So. Is that
happiness?
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Who's next?
Let's see. Caller, you're now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Andrea.
Hey, Andrea.
Hi. I'm looking at. What comes up is I'm surprised to be on the air because due to technical difficulties, I couldn't be in the queue. So that was an interesting workshop in conditioning. But somehow I was able to get on today, and I have emailed the Living Compassion about it, so I don't know if there was some technical problem or something, but it seems like I was able to get on.
So
that's interesting. And as far as it relates to giving, I don't know, I guess I'm just calling in to participate, and what I've been seeing around giving is that I've been doing the text, commitment text workshop, and I see a lot coming up around that. And I guess what amazes me is that just so much conditioning can come up around something so simple.
Yes.
And I've seen a lot, and I think that conditioning prevents, basically it tries to take away all that I do. And so I give a lot, and I'm not able to acknowledge that fact or receive it.
So Andrea, there were many things about what that you said, but it seems that that is the salient point, which is the noticing that you're not allowed to receive your generosity, right? That somehow or the other, that's not something that you can be in touch with. And do you sense that it's the identification with me that that's the case?
I think it's ego. I mean, the more I look at it, the more I'm able to see the different layers of it.
Mm-hmm. Because ego is not generous. If I'm identified with ego, I can't get in touch with generosity because I'm looking at something or consulting something that that hasn't, that isn't generous, right? Because ego is scarcity. If I'm identified with scarcity, there's no way I can experience generosity.
Exactly, and that's really what I'm seeing. And I'm seeing that in just so many different contents, whether it be the text class, which is all, I guess I just say the meta content, the meta process is just that of scarcity, that of I don't have enough time, urgency, and inability, and the ego's inability to, you know, accept or receive. You know, it's all that one process. So that's what I'm.
Yes. So if I may reinforce that, the insight or the awareness for you is that process is all of those things. So every time I'm identified with it or consulting it, that's my experience. And so the practice being we turn our attention, right?
Yes.
To what is generous, to what is infinite, to what isn't limited, right? And then that's our experience.
Exactly. And so what I'm doing as part of my practice is sitting outside for five minutes each day and just being and doing nothing else and just watching nature.
Yeah. Or a reframe of that would be to calibrate to the other, the thing that's other than scarcity and limitation and finitude, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And it's just amazing when, you know, when you're sitting outside and just watching just life, the amount of animals and birds and plants, and it's just incredible.
Yeah, you can't. You are in wow or wonder of abundance, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Perfect.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Andrea. And Sweetie, I'm going to bring on our next caller.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning, Ashwini and Chris. This is Diane.
Hey, Diane. What are you seeing?
I am seeing, you know, it's interesting because I'm seeing that the last caller and I are on the same wavelength here. I've been seeing throughout the month that I'm unable to receive the fact that I actually do give. And it's been very painful to see how I'm prohibited from seeing that and how much pain that has caused.
Which is the point, right, Diane?
Yeah, check it worked.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why we stopped giving it attention, right? Because I don't want to identify and suffer about something I'm not. Because
is the whole name of the game, right?
Yeah, which I think
ego's game.
Which is the whole, name of the ego's game. Because what you're telling me is you do give. That's what's true. Right?
Yeah. And get caught in ego gets me caught in don't, and even that you do, of course, then it goes to not enough, like the yeah buts. So anyway, I've been seeing that this month, and it was painful and useful to see. And then so my practice. And the other part of that is, of course, I'm not allowed to give to myself.
Right.
So, go ahead.
Go ahead. No. So I think what you're pointing to is the assignment, right? Where's the self-hate? The self-hate is you're the kind of person who isn't generous and doesn't give to yourself. And as we were talking with Andrea and you're pointing out, that's the identification. Right, which is a suffering place.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
So sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Your practice
No worries. No, my practice is the same as Andrea's. I sit outside on the deck for 10 minutes and let myself just be.
Yeah.
No planning, no multitasking, no dogs, no kids.
Right.
Just be. And I find that even that is hard to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is hard because it's not what we're conditioned to do, right? Which is why we have to practice it.
Yes, it's completely delightful, but I just see how, at least one day so far, ego's talked me out of it, which initially was surprising. I was like, really?
Five minutes on the board?
You couldn't carve 10 minutes somewhere?
Yeah.
That seems a dubious proposition.
Yeah. Which is why we keep doing it, right?
And which is why you see that and you record about that.
Perfect.
One last thing I wanted to get your thoughts about, or maybe just say out loud here. I was listening to recordings for quite a while this morning, and I was noticing how many of my recordings are kind of lessons, like see how ego does this and see how deep ego does that. And what I really need are more recordings pointing me towards who I am. Because in a way, ego takes those over by pointing out what I'm not.
Mm-hmm. What a brilliant observation. Right?
So fortunately, I had another folder to flip to. But I see that I've got all these folders, but 99% of them are, lessons, if you will. And only one of them is just truly open and supportive recordings.
Mm-hmm. So I think the process of synchronicity that we were talking about with Miriam is so beautiful, right? So here you are at this moment listening to the recording, and an insight from life drops in to say, you know what? Let's have attention on life rather than ego. There was a point in your practice, I project, that it was really helpful to make those recordings about what ego does so that you could be aware of it when it does that. And now the heart longs for recordings that are about sitting in the garden and just being there and being open to what life is, so that it brings you to that experience of open-heartedness and generosity and everything that life is. And so I project that you'll act on that insight, and now we'll have 99 folders of that, right? Beauty, love, courage, generosity, abundance, compassion, so that it brings you to that experience.
Well, I could sure.
Diane, I lost you. You blipped out for me for a second.
Yeah, that's what I need right now.
Would you say that again?
That's what would be helpful to me now.
Yeah, and of course you'll make those recordings and listen to them and see, right? Follow through on the insight, on the guidance.
Yes. Without follow through, it's not very helpful.
Precisely. And what you're pointing to, right, Diane, is how our practice evolves, that we continue to trust the intelligence in its own, it as it awakens, right?
Yeah, you're kind of saying trust the next step, whatever that might be for each of us.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Well,
thank
posted.
You. That was very helpful. All right. Thanks.
Thank you, Diane. And as Shwini was just looking at with that, how as we continue to practice, or at least starting to practice, we get it that we just have to stop giving attention to egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate. But there really isn't yet an understanding of how to do that. And so that suggestion that you just made seems it's perfect, right? That as we find ourselves in that place where the field of awareness is collapsed, like Miriam was describing, there really isn't a sense of being able to give or receive or any of those things. right? Mm-hmm. But there is that ability to just sit still and practice giving the attention, kind of something, the process of giving, be engaged in that process of giving attention to just being here and to beauty and love, and to begin to see through that collapsed awareness, or have that become a little lighter in some way.
I think what you're pointing to, Chris, if I'm tracking, is there is a practice of receptivity.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. In the beginning, that just seems like too much to ask, right? All the receptivity is being, the channels are all clogged by what conditioning is up to, attention on conditioning. Mm-hmm. And
till we retrain.
Till we retrain. Yeah, precisely. All right. Hold on here. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Melody from Hawaii.
Hey, Melody, what are you seeing?
Hi, you guys. Well, I see a lot of resistance to sharing and getting on and participating. So that's my practice, along with the giving for this month.
Mm-hmm.
And how I started it was that when the subject came around, I immediately thought, I want to give something to me, you know. And what I wanted to give was just being in presence more. And then I went through a workshop with that, whether I was on the right track, whether, just back and forth with that. And I gave myself 15 more minutes a day meditation. And it's just been an interesting process.
Uh-huh. So the workshop around this focus was simply the practice of giving attention to this here now, because that's what
right.
conditioned mind would not, because attention on conditioned mind deprives us of that, right? And so you
yes.
state that intention and watch how conditioning attempts to derail you from that intention by talking to you about your intention, right? Is this the right,
right.
thing to do? Is it the right way to do it?
And, Am I on the right page? Yeah.
That's right. And so we can watch how the mind takes the content of the intention and makes it something compelling enough for the attention to be brought back to it.
Exactly. And it's the same process with getting with participating on the calls.
Yes.
So it's just that I made the commitment to participate each month, to meditate 15 minutes more and just be aware of giving myself that. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's just to make the commitment and keep doing it. And it seems to get easier.
Precisely. Because there's no, mm-hmm. within quotes, there's no giving involved, right? There's just alignment.
That's right.
Right.
That's beautifully said.
Letting go of what prevents that presence, and therefore when you let that go, where you are is here.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, and what you're saying, Melody, is so important, right? That there's a glimmer of awareness of where we want to be or where we want the attention to be. And then we create the structure that assists us to practice that. And so long mm-hmm. as we practice it, no matter what the voices say, no matter how I feel, then we're realizing our intention.
Yes, and then it becomes a routine, which
right.
makes it become easier and easier.
Yes, it's
just
training.
More of it's the training.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
well, and I love the word you use, the routine. Yet it's a routine in consciousness, not a habit of unconsciousness. Right? That's what we're training out of.
Yes. Exactly.
Oh, it's so fun.
Yes, it is. Okay, thank you.
Thanks, gotcha. Melody.
Thank you, Melody. I like the sounds of that. A routine of consciousness. All right, let's hear from
Hello,
our
this
next...
is Jennifer from Whidbey Island.
Hey, Jennifer.
Hi. I was just thinking about what was said about receptivity and was noticing that ego's version of giving is nothing about receptivity or being receptive to how life is. It's more of manufactured, kind of a pushing. You have to do all these things. You have to wear yourself out. That's what giving is. But I'm seeing that maybe the opposite of that is true, that it's more giving to just be receptive to what life might have to say, and you would have that would allow you to be more appropriate in what needs to be given in the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's so counterintuitive, right?
It is.
Jennifer, because the my way of looking at it is ego is so convex to life, right? And what we're attempting to do is concavity, right? Let the empty teacup, that as I empty myself of that, all of my beliefs and assumptions and whatever it is, what I become is so much more receptive, as you stated, a relaxing, which allows me to be present enough to know what might be appropriate to offer or what life wants to, how life wants to come through me in this moment.
Yeah, I love that, the empty teacup. That is how I will remember this and record about it, that metaphor of the empty teacup. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we're using language in ways that suggest separation, but it isn't, right? We're just conduits.
Right.
And so long as the conduit is open, then, you know, giving and receiving just happen. I receive what gets given and give what gets received, and it's all the same wonderful recycling, right?
Yeah, and that's the other part that ego had down pat, was that everything was separate. One gives, one receives, but it's the opposite. It's just all connected.
Right, right. And I think when we intuitively get to that place of non-separation, which means the absence of that which separates conditioned mind, it all makes sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
You just can't talk about it.
Right. You just say things like empty teacup.
precisely. And then we all have clarity and we know what we mean. It connotes that receptivity, that allowing life, generosity, all of those things. Yeah.
Yeah. Great. Thank you.
Thank you. And laughter, I project, Jennifer, because that's it. You know, we crack up in delight.
Right.
Thank you, Jennifer. And as you were saying, Ashwini, with appropriateness, as long as I am in life, then that question of appropriateness doesn't really matter. I mean, life's going to do it. It's going to just automatically take into account whatever needs to be taken into account, and then appropriateness just kind of shows up out of the other end of that conduit that you were describing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is quite fun.
Yeah.
And too, with that, there does seem like there's a... there is that sense of the energy that's coming in and the energy going out, so what I'm able to receive and what I'm able to give, and there's a kind of a match there in terms of that appropriateness, and that what conditioning wants to have happen is have there be a mismatch, so conditioning be asking for more energy than I'm actually receiving, or whatever research you want to put in there. Or one way or the other, that, you know, it lives in that separation, or that the margin between those two, the kind of energy that's coming in and the energy that's going out. If there's a difference there, then conditioning has as a leverage to get the attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a mismatch.
Exactly, mismatch, and that creates all kinds of trouble if we're not careful, right? So, all right, well, that brings us to the end of the show, Ashwini, and here is our assignment for today. Do your daily practice. There is a vitality, a life force, a quickening that is translated through you into action. And because there is only one of you in all time, this expression is unique. Martha Graham. Today, pay special attention to how this life force in you is uniquely expressed. Record and listen. All right, well, thank you very much, Ashwini.
Thank you, Chris, and I guess we'll see everybody on Monday.
That's indeed true. All right, till then, take care.
Go happy.
Go happy.